names of the Day of Judgment. There are many names of the Day of Judgment. I'll go over some of them. And the Day of Judgment was given many names because it is important in the Arabic language and in any language on the face of the earth. If something is important, you find that there are many names given to it. So for example, the Arabs had many names for the horse. So you have different species of horses given different names, different colors of horses given different names, and just the horse itself had different ways of naming it. That is because it was an important thing to the Arabs. Just like you would find now in English, you have so many names given to alcohol. I mean, for a Muslim, it's confusing. A Muslim knows that this is alcohol and it's haram. But for the people who drink, you have vodka, you have wine, you have whiskey, you have beer, you have and rum and whatever. It's, you could go on and on and on. Hundreds of names. Why? Because it's important for the non-Muslims. That's why it's given many names. And in pre-Islamic Arabia, khamr had 80 names. Alcohol had 80 names because it was something important to them too. Because the Day of Judgment is an important concept to us as Muslims, it was given many names. And these names are descriptions of what happened on the Day of Judgment. The most common name is Yawm al-Qiyamah. Al-Qiyamah comes from Qiyam, which is standing up. So the Day of Judgment is called the Standing Day, because that is the day
يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
That is the day when mankind will stand up to meet Allah. You're not sitting down, you're not laying down, you're standing up for 50,000 years. The Standing Day, يوم القيامة.
الله لا إله إلا هو ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه ومن أصدق من الله حديثا.
Allah, there is no deity except Him. He will surely assemble you for the Day of Standing, about which there is no doubt. So that's one name. The second most commonly used name is Al-Yawm Al-Akhir or Al-Akhirah. Al-Yawm Al-Akhir means the last day. فَلَا يَوْمَ بَعْدَ. There's no day after that. That's the last day in this world. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبَ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ.
Righteousness is not that you turn your faces towards the east or the west, but true righteousness is one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets. So it's al-yawm al-akhir. Or al-akhirah, which means the end. So you have a dunya versus al-akhirah. This world versus the next, the end. The next name is as-sa'ah, the moment. So it is the moment. It's the most important moment. Now as-sa'ah in Arabic, according to Al-Qurtubi, he says, وَالسَّاعَةُ كَلِمَةٌ يُعَبَّرُ بِهَا فِي الْعَرَبِيَّةِ عَنْ جُزْءٍ مِنَ الزَّمَانِ غَيْرْ مَحْدُودٍ وَفِي الْعُرْفِ على جزء من 24 جزءا من اليوم والليلة الذين هم أصل الأزمنة. He says that الساعه in Arabic, if it's unqualified, it means an unspecified amount of time. It could be any time, but it could be specifically used to mean the hour, which is one part of 24 parts of the day. So it could be translated as the hour, or it could mean the moment, an unspecified amount of time. وحقيقة الإطلاق فيها أن الساعة بالألف واللام عبارة في الحقيقة عن الوقت الذي أنت فيه وهو المسمى الآن وسميت به القيامة إما لقربها فإن كل آت قريب وإما أن تكون سميت بها تنبيها على ما فيها من الكائنات العظام التي تصهر الجلود وقيل إنما سميت بالساعة لأنها تأتي بغتة في ساعة. And then he says that sa'a with alif wal lam, which is the hour or the moment, would mean this moment. So he says that the hour was called, was given this name because it is so close, it is almost this moment. That's one interpretation. The second interpretation, it is called the moment because it's the most important moment, since that is when the most important events would occur. Al-ka'inat al-azam, the major events. Or it could mean لِأَنَّهَا تَأْتِي بَغْتَةً فِي سَاعَةً, because it suddenly comes in a moment. So it's called the moment. So these are three different interpretations given by Al-Qurtubi. This is also a name commonly used in Quran and Hadith.
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ.
O mankind, fear your Lord. Indeed, the convulsion of the final hour is a terrible thing. So it's translated here as the final hour. We gave it the translation of the moment or the hour. The next name, so now we have 1, 2, 3. The fourth is Yawm al-Ba'th, the day of resurrection. And it's given that name because that is when we will be given a new life. And our bodies are going to be created again. So it's the second creation for us. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِّن تُرَابٍ. O people, if you should be in doubt about the resurrection, then consider that indeed we created you from dust. If you think that we will not create you again, how did we create you the first time? Number 5, يوم الخروج, the day of emergence. And it's called the day of emergence because that is when you will emerge from your graves.
يَوْمَ يَسْمَعُونَ الصَّيْحَةَ بِالْحَقِّ ذَٰلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُرُوجِ.
The day they will hear the blast of the horn is the truth. That is the day of emergence. When they will hear the blast of the horn, that's the day of emergence. 6. الْقَارِعَةِ. Al-Qari'ah, we can translate it as the calamity. تَقْرَعُ الْقُلُوبِ. It is something that hits the hearts. So it's a calamity.
Al-Qari'ah, ما القارعه, وما أدراك ما القارعه.
The striking calamity. What is the striking calamity? And what will make you know what is the striking calamity? 7. يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ. The day of judgment. Al-fasl means when all disputes will be solved. When every difference of opinion will be solved. That is when Allah Azza wa Jal will judge among humanity in everything that they did or said.
هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين.
This is the day of judgment. We will have assembled you and the former peoples. We will have assembled you all with all of the former peoples to judge among you. يوم الفصل. 8. يوم الحسرة. The day of regret. There's a lot of regret that happens on the day of judgment. Al-Kuffar regret because they were not Muslim. And the Muslims regret that they didn't do better. So it's a day filled with regret.
ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا.
When the wrongdoer will bite, not his fingers, يديه, will bite both his hands. So imagine how a person would stuff both hands in their mouth and would chew on their fingers because of the pain of regret in their hearts.
وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
And warn them, O Muhammad, of the day of regret when the matter will be concluded, and yet they are in a state of heedlessness and they do not believe. 9. يوم الحساب. The day of account.
وقال موسى إني عذت بربي وربكم من كل متكبر لا يؤمن بيوم الحساب.
But Moses said, "Indeed, I have sought refuge in my Lord and your Lord from every arrogant one who does not believe in the day of account." That is the day of account, hisab. Very accurate account. Everything will be brought forth. مثقال ذرة من خردل. Even a single grain. يا بني إنها إن تكن مثقال ذرة من خردل في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله. So Allah Azza wa Jal will bring forth everything that you did, everything that you said. يومئذ لا تخفى منكم خافية. Nothing will be hidden. 10. الواقعة. The event. The occurrence. That is the most important event. الواقعة. Next name, 11. الحاقة. The inevitable truth or reality. If you think that this is real, that is الحاقة. The inevitable truth.
الحاقة. ما الحاقة؟ وما أدراك ما الحاقة؟
Next, يوم التلاق, the day of meeting, or the meeting day.
رفيع الدرجات ذو العرش يلقي الروح من أمره على من يشاء من عباده لينذر يوم التلاق.
He is the exalted above all degrees, owner of the throne. He places the inspiration of his command upon whom he wills of his servants to warn of the day of meeting. Why is it called the day of meeting? Ibn Kathir says, قال ابن عباس يلتقي فيه آدم وآخر ولده. Ibn Kathir is mentioning early opinions. He says Ibn Abbas said, it is called the day of meeting because that is when Adam will meet with his last child. All of the children of Adam will meet on that day. While Qatada and As-Suddi, they say, يلتقي فيه أهل الأرض والسماء والخالق والمخلوق. As-Suddi and Qatada say that is when the creation of the earth will meet with the creation of the heavens and the Creator will meet with the creation. And Maymun ibn Mahran says, يلتقي فيه الظالم والمظلوم. Maymun ibn Mahran says, that is when the oppressor will meet with the oppressed. Finally, يوم التناد, the day of calling.
وَيَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمَ التَّنَادِ.
And O my people, indeed I fear for you the day of calling. And it's given that name because there's so much calling going on. First of all, every one of you will be called forth. Plus, the oppressed will be calling the oppressors. And the worshippers will be calling the ones they worshipped.
We talked about the meaning of some of the names of the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Yawm al-Qiyamah is a day. And the most frequently used name for it is Yawm al-Qiyamah. And al-Qiyamah, we said one of the meanings of al-Qiyamah is a day of standing. People will be standing on that day. There's no sitting, there's no laying down, there's no rest. On the day of judgment, it's standing. And the day of judgment, there are a lot of events that happen throughout this day. There are many things that go on. It's a 50,000 year long day. One of the most important events that happen on the Day of Judgment is Al-Hisab, the reckoning. Because the Day of Judgment is stages. You have in the beginning the changing of the universe. That's part of the Day of Judgment. That's how it begins. And then you have the assembly, Al-Hashr, when people come together. That's one stage. And then you have the Shafa'ah. That's another stage. And then you have Al-Hisab. And this is the most important or prominent part of the Day of Judgment or stage of the Day of Judgment. It is the reckoning. And that is what the Day of Judgment is for. It is to examine the accounts of people and then at the end to send the people either to Jannah or to Hellfire. يوم الحساب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعُرِضُوا عَلَى رَبِّكَ صَفَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they will be marshaled before thy Lord in ranks. So people will be standing in ranks in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting for the reckoning. On the Day of Judgment, there are some rules or fundamentals which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have on this day. The first rule is al-adl, justice. The day of judgment is the day of justice. And one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adl, the just. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not wrong anyone and will not take what belongs to anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give everyone what they deserve and what should be given to them. So it's a day of adl, justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fear the day when you shall be brought back to God, to Allah, then shall every soul be paid what it earned, and none shall be dealt with unjustly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deal with you unjustly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you earned. And this scale of justice is very delicate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what belongs to you, even if it is equivalent to one grain, one atom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not wrong you even an equivalent of an atom. One single grain, the smallest particle that exists in the universe, if it belongs to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. And Luqman al-Hakim, when he was giving advice to his son, he told his son,
يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ.
Luqman al-Hakim told his son, O my son, if there be but the weight of a mustard seed, and it were hidden in a rock, or anywhere in the heavens or on earth, Allah will bring it forth. For Allah understands the finest mysteries, and Allah is well acquainted with them. If there is a grain hidden in the inside of a rock, or hidden in the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth on the Day of Judgment if it belongs to you. Wherever it is, nothing will be lost. Everything that belongs to you will be given to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you do one single atom, an equivalent of one single atom or grain of good, you will find it. And if you did one single grain of evil, you will also find it. And we have to carry this awareness with us always. Luqman al-Hakim, right after he gave his son the advice, the first advice he gave to his son was what? La tushrik billah. Don't associate any gods with Allah. That's the first advice he gave his son. And then the second advice was, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, the kindness towards the parents. Immediately after that, before salah, Luqman al-Hakim told his son this advice that we just read, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring whatever belongs to you, whatever belongs to you will be brought to you. Because he wants to develop in his son the muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overwatching you. And this is very important that we instill this in our hearts and in the hearts of our children very early on, that Allah is watching you. Wherever you go, Allah is watching you. We sometimes as parents, we try to overwatch our children ourselves to make sure that they're on the right track. We're always noticing what they're doing, where they're going, who their friends are. But this can only go so far, because no matter how much, how hard you try to overwatch your children, there are some things you're not going to know. As a human being, you have a limit of sight, a limit of hearing, a limit of knowledge. The strongest protection for them is for them to believe that Allah is watching them wherever they are. Because if they believe in that, then even if you're not around, they're going to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. trying to protect our children by having them fear us is not very powerful. Because they're going to fear us at home. But when they're on their own, then there's, why would they fear you? You're out of sight. Out of mind, out of sight. But if we are able to develop in them the awareness that Allah is watching you, it's not us, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who's going to hold you accountable, not me. Then this is more powerful because they would realize that Allah is with them wherever they are. And that's why Luqman al-Hakim also told his son, and this is not in Quran, but this was narrated as a saying of Luqman al-Hakim. He told his son, oh my son, if you want to sin, go ahead and do it. He gave his son the green light to go and commit sins. He said, oh my son, if you want to commit sins, go ahead and do it. But do it where Allah cannot see you. Therefore, muraqabat Allah Azza wa Jal, to develop the awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overwatching every action that we do, is a powerful tool for everyone, for every Muslim, and that is ihsan. أَنْتَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Ihsan is that you worship Allah as if you see Allah, and if you don't see Him, then Allah sees you. That is al-ihsan. So the first rule, again, is justice, al-adl. Number two, individual accountability. The second rule of the day of judgment, or al-hisab, the reckoning, is individual accountability. You are responsible for what you did. You are not responsible for what somebody else did. You are responsible on your own actions. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you on the day of judgment. You are not liable for what somebody else did. And if you compare this to the Christian belief in regards to accountability, in Christianity there is an original sin which was committed by somebody else. They attributed to Adam alayhi salam. We are held responsible, according to Christianity, we are held responsible for what Adam did tens of thousands of years ago. And that's the original sin. The sin was not committed by us, it was committed by Adam, and we are held accountable for what Adam did. And then let's look at who will carry the burden of that sin. It is us who are responsible for it, but who paid the price for that sin? It's not us, it's who? It's the innocent, the Son of God, as they say. The sin was not committed by you, and the one who will pay the price is the innocent. Take this to any court and see if it will go through. You did not commit the sin, and then somebody else, innocent, has to pay the price. It is contrary to simple common sense. In Islam, you are held responsible for what you did. Why should the Son of God, the innocent, have to pay for what human beings have done? That is contrary to the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-adl, the just. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you accountable for what anyone did. But Allah will hold you accountable for your own actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who receives guidance, receives it for his own benefit. If you follow the guidance, you're the one who's benefiting. You are not doing Islam a favor by becoming a Muslim. You are benefiting yourself. You are not doing the masjid a favor by praying in it. You are doing yourself a benefit. You are not doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a favor by being obedient to Him. You are the one who's benefiting from it. مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. Who receives guidance, receives it for his own benefit. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. Who goes astray does so to his own loss. If you go astray, then you are the one who's also losing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and no bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. You have your own burden, you're going to be held responsible and accountable for it, and you're not going to carry the burden of someone else. And this is not something unique to the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the message of every prophet before, including Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. That was his message. And this was the message of Musa, and the message of Ibrahim, and Nuh, and Adam. You are held accountable for your own mistakes, and you are going to receive the reward of your righteous acts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وإبراهيم الذي وفى ألا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى وأن سعيه سوف يرى ثم يجزاه الجزاء الأوفى وأن إلى ربك المنتهى.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nay, is he not acquainted with what is in the books of Musa? This is in the books of Musa and of Abraham who fulfilled his engagements. And this was also revealed to Ibrahim. Namely, that no bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another, that man can have nothing but what he strives for, that the fruit of his striving will soon come in sight, then will he be rewarded with a reward complete. This is individual accountability. You're not going to bear the burden of someone else. You will receive only what you strive for, and you will receive the reward complete. This is individual accountability. Now, when you read some ayat in Quran, you might get a sense that there's a contradiction. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَيَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will bear their own burdens and other burdens along with their own. Allah says here, they will carry their burden and they will also carry other burdens in addition to theirs. How can we say there's individual accountability, but here this ayah says that they're going to be carrying the sins of someone else? We can find a hint to answer this in the same ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَيُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ.
They're going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment for the falsehood that they made up. They made up falsehoods and other people followed their falsehoods. Therefore, they're going to carry the sins of everyone who followed their word. So it's true that you only carry your own sins, but you are also responsible for the sins which you have caused. If you caused others to commit sins, then you carry their burden. But that doesn't mean that then they are free of burden. They are also carrying their burdens too. So they carry their sins, and you also carry the same punishment of that sin. So if you cause 5 sins, then the people will be held accountable for those 5 sins, and you will also be held accountable for those 5 sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man sanna fil islami sunnatan hasana falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ba'dahu ila yawm al-qiyamah. Wa man sanna fil islami sunnatan sayyi'ah fa alayhi wizruha wa wizr man amila biha ba'dahu ila yawm al-qiyamah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "If you start a good tradition, then you will receive the reward of it and the reward of everyone who does it until the Day of Judgment. And if you start an evil tradition, then you will carry that sin and the sin of everyone who does it until the Day of Judgment." Therefore, the scholars have said that if a person commits sins on his own privately, it is much worse if the person does it in public and calls the people to do it. If you commit a sin or an innovation and then you invite others to it, the disaster of that is much greater than if you did it on your own privately and you didn't let anybody know about it. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and this is also a tafsir of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the ayah in Quran, that the son of Adam who killed his brother will receive a portion of the punishment of every act of murder that happens after that until the Day of Judgment, because he's the first one who committed murder. The two sons of Adam, they had a dispute among themselves, so one of them killed the other. Qabil killed Habil. Now Qabil, because he's the first one to commit the crime of murder, he's going to carry a portion of the sin of everyone who kills until the Day of Judgment. Because he's the founder of murder. The third rule is the presentation of deeds. On the Day of Judgment, your deeds will be presented to you in entirety. Everything that you did, you will see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the goal of you all is to Allah. That's our final destination, is we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is He that will show you the truth of all that you do. Allah will show you the truth of every single thing that you did. And it will be presented to you in a form of a book. It will be documented in a book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, we shall bring out for him a scroll which he will see spread open. Everything that was done will be presented in this scroll, in this book. This book is comprehensive. Every single detail will be mentioned. Nothing will be left out. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the day of judgment is so long, 50,000 years, because you will be examined for every detail of your life. If you lived for 60 years, every single detail of those 60 years, you will be questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the book of deeds will be placed before you, and you will see the sinful in great terror because of what is recorded therein. They will say, ah, woe to us, what a book is this? It leaves out nothing small or great, but takes account thereof. They will find all that they did placed before them, and not one will your Lord treat with injustice. Small or great, صغيرةً ولا كبيرة. Everything small or great will be documented and mentioned in this book in front of your eyes. And that, therefore, the ones who committed a lot of sins, they're going to be in a very desperate situation on the Day of Judgment when they see this book, huge book, packed with sins. يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. This book is leaving nothing, small or great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show you His mercy and forgiveness, He will not multiply the evil deeds. One evil deed is equal to one evil deed. But the good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies. 1 equals 10. And again, that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
مَن جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا وَمَن جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he that does good shall have 10 times as much to his credit. He that does evil shall only be recompensed according to his evil. No wrong shall be done unto any of them. Allah will multiply the good deeds and will not multiply the evil deeds. Now, the ayah mentions 1 to 10. That's minimum. But there are some acts that are more. And we'll give examples of some deeds that are multiplied. For example, Quran, reading Quran. You will receive for every letter in Quran 10 rewards. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Alif, Lam, Mim is not one letter, but Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, Mim is a letter. So literally every letter, you will receive 10 rewards for reading it. This hadith is narrated by Ibn Mas'ud in Sahih Tirmidhi. من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله به حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. Over here you have 1 equals 10. And then there's another hadith narrated by Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَصْلَتَانِ لَا يَحْصِيهِمَا رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. 2 habits, if you persist on them, you will be rewarded with Jannah. يَحْصِيهِمَا means you don't miss them. You don't miss out on doing them. You consistently do this habit. وَهُمَا يَسِيرٌ, and they are easy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us they are easy. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِمَا قَلِيلٌ, but the ones who do them are few. Even though it's easy, the ones who commit to them are few. يُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ فِي دُبْرِ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ عَشْرًا وَيَحْمَدْهُ عَشْرًا وَيُسَبِّحُ وَيُكَبِّرْهُ عَشْرًا. You say after every salah, Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, and Allahu Akbar 10 times. By the way, there's another hadith that says 33. Over here, this hadith says 10, 10, 10. Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, Allahu Akbar 10 times. فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَعْقِدُهَا بِيَدِهِ I saw Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم count them with his own hands. قَالَ فَتِلْكَ خَمْسُونَ وَمِئَةٌ بِاللِّسَانِ That comes to 150 on the tongue. How did Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As get to the number 150? Five prayers times 30. You said Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, Allahu Akbar 10 times, that's 30. Multiplied by 5, that's 150. And then he said, وَأَلْفٌ وَخَمْسُمِئَةٌ فِي الْمِيزَانِ But in the scale, on the Day of Judgment, it will count as 1,500. Multiply 150 by 10. So you receive 1,500 rewards. The second habit, وَإِذَا أَخَذْتَ مَضْجَعَكَ تُسَبِّحْهُ وَتُكَبِّرْهُ وَتَحْمَدْهُ مِئَةً And when you go to bed, you make tasbih and tahmid and takbir 100 times. So you say, Subhanallah 33. Alhamdulillah 33 and Allahu Akbar 34. The total is 100. So it counts as 100 on the tongue, But it counts as how much on the scale? How many? 1,000. It counts as 1,000 on the scale. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the question, فَأَيُّكُمْ يَعْمَلُ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَّيْلَةِ أَلْفَيْنِ وَخَمْسِمِئَةِ سَيِّئَةٍ Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Who of you will commit 2,500 sins per day? Rasulullah is telling you, you will receive 2,500 rewards by doing this dhikr. And then he's telling you, and who of you will commit 2,500 sins? He's telling you this is an advantage for you because you're receiving so much rewards and inshallah you're not going to do an equivalent of this in sins. So in the end you come out as a winner. Then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, وَكَيْفَ لَا نُحْصِيهَا How come we would not do them? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, only a few will do it. So the Sahaba said, this seems to be very easy. How come only a few will do this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالَ يَأْتِي أَحَدَكُمْ الشَّيْطَانِ وهو في صلاته فيقول اذكر كذا اذكر كذا حتى ينفتل فلعله لا يفعل وياتيه وهو في مضجعه فلا يزال بنومه حتى ينام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيطان will come to you in your salah and make you remember something so as soon as you finish your salah you're going to leave you're not going to make that dhikr and shaitan comes to you when you go to bed and he will make you sleep before you make that dhikr even though it's very easy only a few are going to commit to it persistently and consistently. Because shaitan is going to stay after you, try to prevent you from doing this. And we see this especially after salah. We don't know what happens to the people in the bed, in their beds, but we know what happens here in the masjid. As soon as the imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and the salah is over, people leave. And not everyone stays behind to commit to these adhkar. And this is not the only dhikr that we do after salah. There's reading ayat al-kursi, There's قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ and other adhkar relating to some specific salawat like salat al-maghrib and salat al-fajr لا إله إلا الله وحده ولا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير 10 times the dhikr after salah is very simple and sometimes because things are simple we neglect them because we see it as insignificant but it's not insignificant just this dhikr will count for you as 2,500 rewards We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to commit to His dhikr. Then there is another example of multiplication of deeds, salah. Originally, how many salawat were prescribed on us? 50. Musa was telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reduce it. So it was reduced to 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will count as, you will have 5 prayers to do, but it will count as 50. These 5 daily prayers are going to be multiplied by 10. So as if we are praying 50 times a day. And this was mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. These are examples of deeds that are multiplied by 10. And then there are deeds that are even multiplied more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ 7 سَنَابِلٍ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ 100 حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the parable of those who spend their substance in the way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. So how much does that come up to? 700. You have one grain, it grows into 7 sanabil, ears, and every year has 100 grains. So the total comes to 700. So one counts as 700, and then وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, and Allah will manifold, will give manifold increase to whom He pleases. So there is even more. And this is talking about money that is spent in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas explains this and says, الجهاد والحج يضعف الله الدرهم فيها إلى 700 ضعف. Ibn Abbas says that one dirham in this, in our, what pertains to us, $1 in hajj or jihad will be multiplied 700 times. $1 you spend in hajj, $1 you spend in jihad will count as 700. 700 for one. That is about 70,000% increase on your wealth. 70,000% return. What investment in the world will give you that return? None. Plus, it is guaranteed. It's not abiding by the stock market that goes up and down. It's guaranteed. Whenever you spend it, in a depression or an economical boom, it doesn't make a difference. You're going to receive 700 for every $1 you spend. That's a guaranteed investment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In hajj, if you spend $3,000, for example, that's the average hajj, it costs $3,000. Multiply that by 700, how much? It comes to 2,100,000. $3,000 you spent in hajj, you get a return of $2,100 for it. That's the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Karamullah azza wa jal. This is money that is spent in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be reserved for you. So over here we have 1 by 700. And then we have the reward of sabr, patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who patiently persevere will truly receive a reward without measure. Over here it's not multiplied by 100 or 700 a year, it's limitless. And this is the reward of patience and also fasting. As-sawm. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is hadith Qudusi, كل عمل ابن آدم يضاعف الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف قال تعالى إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith Qudusi that every deed of the son of Adam will be multiplied by 10 to 700 except fasting. It is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasting is for me and I will reward it. And it will be a reward greater than 700. That is the reward of Siyam. And what follows is an amazing manifestation of the generosity and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith narrated by al-Bukhari that if you make the intention of doing a good deed and then you don't follow through with it, what reward will you receive? You will receive the reward of one good deed. You didn't go through with it. You just made the intention to do a good deed. You didn't do it. You just made the intention. You will receive the reward of it even though you didn't do it. And if you do it, then it will be multiplied by 10. So if you had the intention and you didn't do it, it will count as one good deed. If you do it, it will be multiplied by 10. Now if you have the intention of committing a sin, what will happen if you don't do it? It will count as one good deed. Look at the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you make the intention of doing a sin and then you don't follow through, it would count as one good deed for you. And if you do it, it will count as one. And as I'm telling you, this is the true generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the generosity of Allah. You don't do a good deed, you receive the reward. You don't do a sin, you receive a reward. And if you do the good deed, it is multiplied by 10. If you do the sin, it counts as one. And this hadith is in Bukhari. And then another example, which takes it even further, to show you the generosity and mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to the ones who repent. The ones who make tawbah. The repenters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked in this ayah about three major sins. The first one is associating gods with Allah. The second one is murder. And the third sin is adultery or fornication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَن يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا.
The ones who do these sins will be punished severely in hellfire. Except the ones who repent.
إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا.
Except for the ones who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do for them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them will replace their evil deeds into good ones. So a person who has a long record of sins, if that person repents and believes and does good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only will erase those sins, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transfer those sins into rewards. So let's assume that the person has 10,000 sins. The person will not only be forgiven, but 10,000 good deeds will be deposited in his account. And that is to show you again the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants you to repent. Repent and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transfer all of those sins into rewards for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is merciful and forgiving. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith narrated by Muslim, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ آخِرَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ دُخُولًا الْجَنَّةِ وَآخِرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ خُرُوجًا مِنْهَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I know the last person to enter into paradise and the last person to leave from hellfire. رَجُلٌ يُؤْتَى بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيُقَالَ اعْرُضُوا عَلَيْهِ صِغَارَ ذُنُوبِهِ وَارْفَعُوا عَنْهُ كِبَارَهَا. This is a man. He's going to be the last one to leave hellfire and the last one to enter into paradise. He will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels, present to him his minor sins and hide away the major ones.
فَتُعْرَضُ عَلَيْهِ صِغَارُ ذُنُوبِهِ فَيُقَالُ عَمِلْتَ يَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا كَذَا وَكَذَا وَعَمِلْتَ يَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا كَذَا وَكَذَا فَيَقُولُ نَعَمْ لا يستطيع أن ينكر وهو مشفق من كبار ذنوبه أن تعرض عليه.
And then he will be told, you did this and this on this day, and you did this and this on this day. And he's saying yes. He cannot lie. He's saying yes. And he is worried, when will the major sins be presented to him? At this moment, he's being presented with this long list of small sins that he did. And he's saying, yes, I did this. Yes, I did this. Yes, I did this. And he's shivering because he's waiting for the big questions of the major sins that are coming.
فَيُقَالُ لَهُ فَإِنَّ لَكَ مَكَانَ كُلِّ سَيِّئَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ فَيَقُولُ رَبْ قَدْ عَمِلْتُ أَشْيَاءَ لَا أَرَاهَا هُنَا فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ضَحِكَ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِدُهُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, replace these sins with good deeds. So those sins will be replaced with good deeds. When he sees that, then he will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, I have done some major sins that I don't find. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said that, he left. Because when this man knew that the sins are transformed into good deeds, now he said, oh Allah, I did some bad deeds. Where are they? I don't see them. In the beginning, he was hiding them and he was shivering. But when he saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, then he started claiming his bad deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left when he mentioned this until his moles appeared. Very wide smile. The last rule that we're going to talk about on the Day of Judgment is presenting the witnesses. Ash-shuhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will assemble all of the witnesses. Allah will assemble witnesses on nations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assemble witnesses on individuals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this ummah witness on others. We already talked in the past about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send witnesses against us. Your hand will speak about the sins it did. The feet will speak about the sins they committed. The tongue will speak about the sins it committed. So these are witnesses from within. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring witnesses on the nations. The people of Nuh will be the witness against them. So Nuh will come and say, "Oh Allah, I conveyed to them the message and they rejected the truth." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the ummah of Nuh, "Is this true?" They will say, "No." They would lie. Who will come to support Nuh in his witness? The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come forth and say, "Yes, O Allah, Nuh did convey the message to his people." They will say, "How do you know? You weren't there." The Muslims will say, "We received it in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran." So the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a witness on us.
وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا.
Thus have we made you an ummah justly balanced, that you might be witnesses over nations and the apostle a witness over yourselves. Because we are the last ummah, we would witness on every other ummah before. And we will say, "Yes, O Allah, you did send them a messenger and they refused." Because this is the last ummah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a witness over us. So these are five rules of the Day of Judgment. We are going to mention a few things about the questioning of mankind. As-su'al, the questioning. People are going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. And the questioning is different. Some people, they would be questioned in detail. And some people will not be questioned at all. There are some people who will not be questioned at all. And these are the best. And these are the ones who reach to the pinnacles in faith and jihad and righteousness. They are not going to be questioned. يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They will enter into paradise without going through the questioning. All what will happen to them is that they will be presented with their books of deeds. But they will not be interrogated. They will receive the book of deeds, but they will not be questioned about the details in it. And these are 70,000 from this ummah who will enter into Jannah without questioning. And then after that, the more a person is questioned, the more difficult and dangerous it is. مَن نُوقِشْ فَقَدْ عُذِّبْ. Rasulullah ﷺ says, whoever is interrogated will be punished. Because if you're interrogated, that means that there's something wrong. And the questioning, the questions that will be asked are everything, but there are some ayat and ahadith that specified a few questions. The most important question is al-kufr. Why didn't you believe? Anyone who rejected the truth, this is the first question that will be asked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ هَلْ يَنصُرُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَنتَصِرُونَ.
And it shall be said to them, "Where are the gods you worshipped?" Then they will be thrown headlong into fire, they and those straying in evil. There are four questions, very important questions, that everyone will be asked about. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith narrated by Tirmidhi, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن عمره فيما أثمات وعن علمه فيما فعل وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن جسمه فيما أبلاه. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, your feet will not move from their spot on the Day of Judgment until you are asked four questions. The first question, عمره فيما أثناه. Your life, how did you use it? These years you spent in dunya, what did you do in them? Time. This question is about time. This is the value of time. It's going to be the first question. How did you use your time? And that's why, when we say that time is money, it's even more worthy than that. Time is your life. And whenever every second is passing by, it's taking away part of you. The first question will be about your life. How did you use your time? How did you use the time you spent in this dunya? That's the first question.
The second question, وعن علمه فيما فعل. How did you use your knowledge? The knowledge that you learned, did you practice it? Or you just learned for the sake of learning and showing off? What have you done with the knowledge that you learned? So knowledge is حجّة علينا. Knowledge is an evidence against us if we don't use it. And it's a great sin not to practice the knowledge that you know. The ayah about the believers is, يَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. This is about the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, why do you say what you don't do? It is a great sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say what you don't do. So we have to practice what we preach. That's the second question. And then the third question, وَعَمْ مَالِهِ كَيْفَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَ. Your money. And you're going to be asked two questions about your money, not one. How did you gain it? And how did you spend it? Money, two questions. Where did you get this money from? And how did you spend it? Every single dollar that you make, you're going to be questioned about the source. And every dollar that you spend, why did you spend it this way? Therefore, subhanAllah, I mean, suffering destitute and poverty for your whole life is better than suffering on the Day of Judgment for $1. $1 that was made from an illegal source, the suffering, it's not worth that suffering. You would rather live a life of poverty throughout the 60 or 70 years in dunya than gain $1 from haram or spend $1 in haram. It's not worth it. To be questioned on the Day of Judgment is the most severe thing. Rasulullah ﷺ says, مَن نُوقِشَ فَقَدْ عُذِّبْ. If you are questioned, you will be punished. Therefore, نَتَّقِ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي الرِّزْقِ. We should be God conscious in our rizq. How we gain it and how we spend it. Two questions are going to be asked on the Day of Judgment on the issue of wealth. And this is also one of the reasons why the poor enter into Jannah before the rich. Even though there could be a rich man who's better in the level and rank than a poor person. Here we're talking about entering into Jannah, the timing of entering into Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ says, فُقَرَاءَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ, the poor of the Muhajireen will enter into Jannah 500 years before the rich. Why? Because, and this is mentioned in the hadith, that they will go to the gates of Jannah. And they want to enter into Jannah, and the angels will ask them, how did you get here? Weren't you held accountable? They came early. So these fuqara, these poor men of al-muhajirin, they will say, what are we going to be held accountable for? We don't have any money, and we were carrying our swords in the sake of Allah. We lived our life in jihad, we didn't have any wealth. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us about? Therefore, wealth is questioning on the Day of Judgment. But in the same time, as I said again, there could be some of the rich like Abdurrahman ibn Auf who would have a higher rank than many of the poor. But money is a very dangerous tool. It can be used and it will open for you doors towards Jannah. In fact, fi sabilillah. And it could take you to the extreme other opposite. And that is in the lower ranks of hellfire. So it's a very dangerous tool and it could take you to one of the two extremes. Either very high ranks of righteousness or very low ranks of evil. So we have to give money the attention it deserves. We shouldn't just have attention of making money, but we should have a lot of attention given to how we make it and how we spend it. These are very two things, because very important, because two questions are in relation to the wealth. And then finally, وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِيمَ أَبْلَاهِ, and your body, how was it consumed? This body, how did you use it? Allah gave you the strength. You're not the inventor of your power. This was given to you by Allah as a trust. How did you use it? Did you put your body to rest and not use it, even though it was full of energy? Or did you consume that body in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and optimize it to the extreme and limit, like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did? Because this is a ni'mah, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are going to be questioned, and how did we use it? These are the four questions. And then there's another question. Number three, the luxury of this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ.
Then shall you be questioned that day about the joy you indulged in. Every blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in this dunya, you will be asked on the Day of Judgment about it. How did you use it? Were you grateful? And there are many meanings that were given to this ayah, and they complement each other. Some of them, for example, Mujahid says,
You will be asked about every pleasure you had in this world, every moment of happiness, every moment of pleasure. You will be asked about it. Ibn Abbas says, part of the pleasure of this world is a healthy body. You will be asked about your health. And then we also know, in the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ says, نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ. There are two blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given people, and they are losing because of them, and that is صحة والفراغ, spare time and health. These are two blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to use them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, they are going to be against you on the Day of Judgment. Number four, covenants and promises. You will be asked about your promises and you will be asked about your covenant. And the most important covenant is the covenant of Iman. Al-Ahd al-Ladhi baynana wa bayna Allah. Al-Mithaq al-Ladhi baynana wa bayna Allah. There is a covenant between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't realize that you have signed the covenant with Allah, you did. You have your signature on a covenant between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say that you are a Muslim, that means that you are signing on a contract between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say that you are a mu'min, you are a believer, you are signing on a contract between you and Allah. This is not an empty word. When you claim that you are a Muslim or a mu'min, that means you are giving your consent to abiding with a certain set of rules and laws. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do, and refraining from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden on us. And we are going to be questioned about that. You are the one who chose to become a Muslim. Therefore, you are entering into an agreement between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا.
And fulfill every engagement, for every engagement will be inquired into on the Day of Judgment. Number five, we will be questioned about our sight, hearing, and mind. Especially these three are very important, sight, hearing, and mind. Because the sight and the hearing is where we input all of the data into our mind. And if you imagine your mind as the central processing of the unit of the body, how does it gain information? Where does it get it from? It gets it from the eyes and from the ears, by hearing and seeing. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us specifically about these three. The sight, and the hearing, and the mind. Because this is where all of the knowledge and all of the information is gathered. It's through the eyes and the ears. And all of it is then processed in the mind. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about these. How did you use your eyes? What did you see with your eyes? Did you use it to read Quran? Or did you use it to see what is forbidden? How did you use your ears? Did you use it to listen to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was it used to listen to the forbidden? How did you use your mind? Did you invest it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or did you use it for the sake of serving yourself in this dunya and neglecting akhirah? Because this is, our mind is what controls us. And the way we use our mind, that is how our body will function, and that is what we will be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, we need to make sure that we are using these three in a form of shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He's the one who created for you sights, hearing, and mind. Why? So that you might be grateful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the shakirin.
إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا.
For every act of hearing, or of seeing, or of feeling in the heart will be inquired into on the Day of Reckoning. Finally, for the believer who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first question that will be asked, Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith narrated by An-Nasa'i, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ صَلَاتُهُ. The first thing you will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment is your salah. فَإِنْ وُجِدَ التَّامَّةِ كُتِبَ التَّامَّةِ. If it was complete, it will be written down as complete. وَإِنْ كَانَ انْتَقَصَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا قَالَ انْظُرُوا هَلْ تَجِدُونَ لَهُ مِنْ تَطَوُّعٍ يُكَمِّلُ لَهُ مَا ضَيَّعَ مِنْ فَرِيضَةٍ مِنْ تَطَوُّعِهِ ثُمَّ سَائِرُ الْأَعْمَالِ تَجْرِي عَلَى حَسَبِ ذَلِكَ. If there is deficiency in your salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels to look in your book of records if you have any voluntary prayers to complete the deficiency. This is what the nawafil do. This is the role of the sunnah or nafil prayer. The five daily prayers are mandatory and they have to be complete. Now definitely here and there there's going to be some deficiency because of our shortcomings. How can that be completed? It's completed by the voluntary prayers that you offer. So the voluntary prayers, they patch any lack, any deficiency that exists in your five mandatory prayers. And then Rasulullah ﷺ says, and the same will be done to all of the other deeds. So you're fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, look at his faridah, fasting. If it's complete, it will be written as complete. If it's not, then Allah will say, see if he has any voluntary fasting. And that's how it will be completed. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira.
For further information, please contact Al-Bashir Publications.